Nine tiny figures ski down a massive snowy expanse dotted with sharp rocky crags beneath a vibrant blue sky.
Skiers descend the slopes of a glacier.
A man in a red vest weaves effortlessly through the crisp snow.
It's the off-piste skiing experience many people dream of.
The skiers glide down the glacier in a serpentine pattern. A bright red helicopter descends toward the group.
There's no ski lift. The only way to get there is by helicopter.
The helicopter lands near the skiers, allowing them to climb inside before it takes off once more. Later, the skiers clamber back out onto a field of untouched snow. The pilot leans against the cockpit door.
Do you want to have lunch up in the mountains?
No.
Can be up here?
Yeah. Up where we do the dog sledding?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and minus six.
Wow.
The skiers relax and take in the scenery.
At the end of the day, after a dozen runs, the group thinks about returning.
The helicopter takes off once more, flying over the black stone and crisp snow toward a massive marina.
4 minutes of flight later, and they're at their destination.
A mega yacht sits anchored just off of the shore.
This privileged group heads towards the pontoon of a mega yacht equipped with a landing platform.
A map of the world appears and focuses on Greenland's western coast.
We're in Greenland, off Ilulissat, a 14-hour flight from Paris.
The helicopter lands safely on its platform. Two workers in high-visibility clothing crouched at the base of the platform stairs. The skiers carefully climb out of the aircraft. One of the skiers beams and adjusts his jacket.
Yeah, virgin snow and incredible.
Was it busy? There were a lot of people.
Yeah, almost four all the time.
Cheers.
They lift martini glasses in a toast.
They're here for 5 days, a very exclusive trip.
A stewardess hands out towelettes.
There are nine of them, and to take care of them, a crew of 30.
A line of crew members stand near the guests.
This is their yacht, 78 meters long, named the Legend. It's what's called an expedition yacht, a boat capable of sailing in the most remote seas.
Her black hull gleams in the sunlight.
The latest trend is not to go to the Caribbean, but to the polar regions.
Inside the Legend.
Even in the far-flung corners of the world, here you can live in extravagant luxury and comfort. A huge wood panel dining room, a fireplace that pretends to make fire. 13 cabins worthy of a 5-star hotel. A lounge for cigar lovers. Or for music lovers, a grand piano.
A bald man saunters down a narrow hall, adjusting the sleeves of his shirt.
The owner of the Legend is Jan Verkerk. He has 3 yachts and is the heir of an important family of Dutch merchants. What he loves most is sailing and sharing his passion with friends.
Jan descends a narrow stairwell.
Simply to feel home. Yeah? And when the people come on board and they put their shoes out and they're going to sit with their feet on the couch, that means they're home. And that's the whole idea for, I think, have a perfect holiday and have a perfect time on the boat.
Jan has owned luxury mega yachts for 25 years now.
He gestures at the Legend schematics.
The boats get bigger, but that's obvious. The boats are about 4 times bigger, 5 times bigger, even 120, 140 meter. So the whole scale is completely different.
Mega yachts, the latest craze for billionaires.
For the last 10 years, billionaires have been racing to build the most gigantic yacht. Between Arab sheiks, Russian oligarchs, and American businessmen, the question is who will have the longest boat, the most expensive, the craziest. The most expensive yacht in the world, the Azam, is 180 meters long and belongs to the Emir of Abu Dhabi. It costs 550 million euros. The mega yacht owners club is ultra private, with its rituals and its secrets.
A man and woman hug.
This is my very good friend, who is the proud owner of this beauty. This is the lifestyle for the 1%. Not everybody can do this. If you're blessed enough to be able to do it, well, you're blessed. That's just it.
To design them, the owners call upon the world's greatest designers. The A was designed for a Russian billionaire by Frenchman Philip Stark.
In a dry dock.
To afford one of these giants of the seas, one mustn't be afraid to spend.
A 50-meter boat costs 50 million euros to buy and roughly 6 to 10 million euros to operate per year.
Inside the Legend.
You also need to bankroll a large staff.
Well, we all have a different role on board. So we have one girl who serves the breakfast, one girl who does the cabins,
One girl who's in the laundry is nonstop all day.
It's a contest to see who will have the most outrageous toys on board, like this personal submarine equipped with advanced technology.
Yeah, we're at 20 meters, 20 meters.
Aboard a mega yacht at night.
Several millionaires have granted us special access aboard their boats.
Thrill of the competition.
From Dubai to Miami, Greenland to Monaco, an investigation into this over-the-top world.
Dozens of yachts sit anchored in cosmopolitan harbors and marinas. Now, aboard a sailing ship, its main sail flaps in the breeze.
Huge sails swell in the wind. A deck the size of a tennis court.
A man coils rope.
12 crewmen run in all directions.
An anchor chain curls around its cleat, then the bow of the ship bobs over the waves.
We're off the coast of Miami aboard one of the world's largest sailing yachts, the Cerberus.
The black siding of the Cerberus swiftly cuts through the choppy seas, her bright orange life ring fixed to the railing of the ship as crew members manipulate cranks on the deck.
This mega yacht is 70 meters long and belongs to this man, American billionaire Bill Duker. The sea is agitated today, just how he likes it.
It's a competition with nature this time, to take advantage of her and to see how you feel.
A stewardess pads across a lounge below deck.
This Sunday, he invited some friends on a spontaneous day trip to enjoy his yacht.
She offers Bill a drink.
The staff, in uniform, pamper the guests.
Plates of sandwiches sit on two small tables in front of the guests.
A casual selection of sandwiches for lunch. Even if on board, everything costs a small fortune.
Another stewardess brings over fresh trays and removes empty plates.
A boat like this, when you get finished with china,
I don't mind, I'm up.
And glasses, and towels, and sheets, and things like that, you know, you've spent more than $1 million. I have a joke. If the rest of the world learns what it's like to live on a yacht like this, they're going to bring back the guillotine.
The Cerberus cruises toward the shore, the Miami skyline peeking up on the horizon.
The owner paid the modest sum of 70 million euros for this yacht. After a few hours at sea, the boat returns to its port in Miami, Florida.
A map of the world appears, then zooms in on Florida, a white circle forming on the southeastern tip of the peninsula around Miami.
Bill Duker lives at the entrance of the harbor, in a building nicknamed Billionaire's Tower.
Inside,
he owns a triplex of over 2,000 square meters.
He stands surrounded by modern art and furnishings.
The apartment looks like a museum. Frank Stella, Valdez, Dubuffet. The great names of contemporary art are omnipresent.
On a rooftop deck.
On the top floor, the owner has put in a swimming pool.
Two men circle the pool.
The apartment was valued at 60 million euros. The billionaire is proud that he developed such a project.
You're in the best apartment in the best building in Miami. You have the most spectacular views of Miami, of Fisher Island and the ocean on that side, of Miami Beach and the ocean on this side. I don't know that anybody else would have done this. I don't know that anybody else could have done this. I mean, I think it's a unique apartment. It is, in my view, the best apartment in Miami Beach. It's the best apartment, I think, on the East Coast.
Bill speaks with a dark-haired man.
Like many billionaires, Bill Duker is always surrounded by people. He has a designer, Peter Horilevich, who only works for him.
We could put the gym there.
Together, they designed this apartment and his yacht.
2009, I learned that I had melanoma and that the melanoma had spread to my lymph nodes. You know, you certainly begin to think that life is short. In the day or two after that, I called Peter and I said that I wasn't going to go forward with this apartment or with the boat. And at the end of that week, I said to myself, I can't live like that. I can't, however long I have, I can't live without a plan and a reason to do something special. And so I called him back and I said, forget it. We're going forward with the boat. We're going forward with the apartment.
Later.
The billionaire is now cured. He takes great pleasure in gazing at his yacht from his balcony.
The ship sits anchored in the distance.
I used to joke before the boat got here that it would be great to put the boat right here at the end of the dock.
I remember.
the main mast, which is 73 meters, would come above the space that we're standing on now.
That's phenomenal.
Now, near the front of the building.
First, Bill Duker was a business lawyer. After trouble with the American justice system, he had to start again from scratch. He has since made a fortune in computer software.
He climbs into a luxurious tender that motors toward the CBRS.
I enjoy what I do for work. I enjoy what I do for entertainment. I enjoy my friends. And, you know, in every respect, I am the regular guy.
Even when he's not sailing, the owner visits his toy every day. He's welcomed by the captain. Like all the crew, he earns a yearly salary. He makes between 15,000 and 20,000 euros a month.
Bill climbs a slim staircase onto the deck.
This yacht has a living area of nearly 1,000 square meters, with a living room, a massage area, and a gym.
Inside the various rooms.
And the billionaire's cabin. There are five other cabins. Like the apartment, the boat is full of works of art, like this fresco inspired by Picasso's masterpiece, Guernica.
Bill approaches the crew.
Bill Duker is also proud of these 13 storage trunks.
He looks at a large leather-encased footlocker.
Bill said, what if instead of wood trunks, we did alligator trunks? And I was like, yeah, that could be great.
So how many alligators actually died for?
150 alligators.
Farm-raised alligators.
Yeah.
Farm-raised. We always stress farm-raised. Now, in Florida, there's alligators everywhere. They eat our dogs, so... if it were a crocodile, it'd feel a little...
Yeah, no. Crocodiles are endangered, but alligators are not. And, you know, it really is this beautiful thing.
He stands in front of another modern art piece.
Today, Bill Duker invited some friends to visit his yacht.
Bill greets his friends as they come onto the deck, standing near a pair of sliding glass doors.
So, did you just get here?
David Boyce and his wife, Mary.
Get up all the stairs.
Bill hugs Mary, then later the group stands on the aft deck.
Boyce is one of the biggest lawyers in the U.S. The couple has their own small yacht.
Mary points to something in the distance.
It's a one of a kind. I've never seen anything like it. And I've been on 20 Perinis over the years.
Whenever Mary climbs aboard a yacht for the first time, she carries out a rather unusual ritual. Climbing the mast.
She's going to go up the bosun chair.
Up the bosun chair all the way to the top of the mast.
David grins and points to the towering mast.
Well, she's done it before. I think she's crazy. Okay.
But the good news is my lawyer's here.
Inside, the trio clink high ball glasses.
A little cocktail for courage. 66-year-old Mary is not faint-hearted.
She gets into a harness.
When you do this, you feel like a bird. You're weightless, you're very high, and you see the world in a very different way, the way a bird does.
Bill looks up.
It's a long way up there.
Two crew members stand nearby, one in his own harness, with ropes as Mary gets ready to climb.
A ship's boy is sent up first.
The younger man climbs easily up the oval metal mast.
And then it's time for her 73-meter ascent.
The older man pulls on a rope and pulley as Mary glides up the rope toward part of the rigging.
Go, sweetheart!
I've seen her do this so many times. I never get used to it.
She stands briefly on a part of the mast extending out like a tree branch.
The whole adventure lasted less than 15 minutes.
David applauds, beaming, as Mary is lowered gracefully back to the deck. A crew member helps her down the last few feet. Now out of her harness, Mary applauds the crew.
Can I buy you a drink?
Yeah, I'm getting better.
She gives David a kiss. At night, warm lights illuminate the yacht and the water beneath.
That same evening, Bill Duker organizes a cocktail party. He wants to show how proud he is of his mega yacht.
15 people mill about on the main deck.
For him, the boat is above all a visible sign of wealth.
Bill weaves through the small crowd.
What's nice about it is all these people can enjoy themselves. They're all very accomplished lawyers. They can lick their hair down. They can enjoy each other. They can have a good time. And they can see something that they don't normally see. This is an opportunity for them to see a piece of art.
And it makes you happy.
Absolutely makes you happy.
David approaches and gives Bill a side hug.
Bill Duker has big plans for his new boat. In a few weeks, he's planning to take it to the Mediterranean.
Light dances off of the calm water from both the ship and the nocturnal Miami skyline. The world map focuses on France and Monaco.
To Monaco, on the coast of the Mediterranean.
Now, dozens of mega yachts sit anchored in Monte Carlo's marina.
The small principality is home to the world's largest concentration of billionaires.
An old church sits nestled next to a high-rise.
It's also the rallying point for mega yachts.
A yacht backs into a dock. On another yacht, a crew member wipes down large tinted windows near the wheelhouse.
The Norwegian Espen Oeno has set up his offices in this yachting capital.
A man steps onto a balcony.
He's a highly requested naval architect and speaker of five languages.
He looks out.
We're lucky to have our office right here on the harbor, with the boats just in front, due south. Boats as far as the eye can see. There is a concentration of yachts here, of course, but also yachting professionals. There are 300 companies here that are related to yachting. Come with me.
He steps inside.
Here we're in the design office, where everyone is working on different projects.
Four designers work on nearby computers.
Espen Oeno designs ships that often cost several hundred million euros. He employs about 20 engineers and designers.
An image of a yacht appears.
What started his career was this boat, the Octopus, the first mega yacht in history. A 126-meter boat built in 2003 that belongs to the billionaire Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, a ship equipped with three submarines and two helicopter landing pads.
Espen steps into another room.
More recently, Espen Oeno built the Dilbar.
A crane lifts pieces of a yacht in a warehouse.
15,500 tons or 40 Airbus A380s. Here are some pictures of its construction.
A rapid time lapse shows the construction of the ship, each piece slotting into place as white tarps covering larger components such as glass windows are removed.
90 crew members are needed to navigate it. It belongs to a Russian billionaire.
In Espen Oeno's office.
Espen Oeno always starts a yacht with a draft, a few strokes of pencil on paper. It's a bit like haute couture.
He carefully sketches a new yacht from an overhead angle.
We start with a general plan for the boat, which I do by hand, and then from that we transpose it into 2D on the computer and then in 3D. Everything comes together like a puzzle. It takes between 3 to 5 years to complete a project, from the first meeting with the client to delivery of the boat.
Espen Oeno is a little like the Karl Lagerfeld of yachting, a mix of audacity and classicism beloved by the press.
Yachting magazines with his creations on their covers sit on a shelf.
Do you still work to bring in customers?
He pulls a face.
No. They come on their own.
He shakes his head.
We don't even have a website. It's a small world with a lot of word of mouth. It's a pyramid. The higher you are in the pyramid, the less people there are, and the more they know each other.
In a week, the designer has to attend one of the world's largest yachting shows.
He leaves, in the streets of Monaco.
Not far away in Monaco, Sabrina Monteleone is also preparing for the same show.
A well-dressed woman stands near a counter.
Did you prepare the plates? The leather samples?
She sells accessories and furniture for luxury yachts. Her brand is simply called Sabrina Monte Carlo.
In Sabrina's showroom.
If you take a boat and turn it over, then we do everything that would fall. Everything that moves on a boat, from the teaspoon to the sofa to the curtains and so on.
She examines linen samples.
After a career in prêt-à-porter, she switched to luxury decoration 21 years ago. Today she knows all the codes.
She looks through different fabric swatches.
It's the men who choose. It's funny because in the home, it's the women. But boats are very masculine, and 80% of our clients are men. Because a boat is very expensive, it's a lot of money. They need control over it. It's their baby. They're the ones who decide, and it's so much easier that way.
She grins.
So much easier.
Off to Dubai, on the shores of the Arabian Persian Gulf. The New York of the Middle East, where we find the Norwegian designer Espen Oeno.
I can't because I have a client meeting in Cap d'Antibes on Thursday, 5 o'clock.
I'd love to, but unfortunately I can't. I'm flying to London on Thursday night at 20-something, and then I'm flying to Geneva in the afternoon. We could have a late lunch in London, perhaps, on Friday, if he's in London on Friday. All right, thanks. Get back to you. Bye. 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 Pardon.
Sorry, that was a broker who wants to organise an appointment with a client. It's always the same. Travels, things to do. He's there and I'm here. When I'm there, he's here.
Dubai skyscrapers gleam in the bright sunlight.
He's here for only 24 hours, participating in an unmissable event in the yachting world. The Emirate of Dubai is the mecca for mega yachts in the Middle East.
Boats pack the large marina.
The boat show has been held here for 25 years, one of the largest boat gatherings in the world. It's no coincidence. Half the world's largest yachts belong to the wealthy Arabs of the Persian Gulf.
Dozens of men in white kandura walk down the docks.
Each year, the Emir of Dubai himself, Sheikh Mohammed Al Maktoum, honors the event with his presence, accompanied by his court.
They board a yacht.
And his bodyguards.
A man adjusts his black earpiece. Espen Oeno trots up the stairs to a yacht's aft deck.
Voilà. This is the aft deck.
He gestures grandly.
Espen Oeno does not have a stand. He uses one of his latest creations, this boat, the Silver Fast, for publicity.
The sleek, silver-sided ship sits near a dock.
When you sit over here, like this, you can see the surface of the sea. Nautical shows are opportunities to show our know-how. And we're fortunate today to have one of our boats in the fair. It's not always the case, because the bigger the boats are, the more private they are.
He reclines on a comfortable sofa on the deck.
People don't really want to show them in a fair, because it's their home after all.
This boat belongs to a German billionaire who wants to resell it. Its price, 80 million euros.
He goes inside, in the engine room.
With a 7,000 horsepower engine, it can go up to 25 knots, 50 kilometers an hour. It is one of the most powerful in the world, one of the most luxurious as well. According to the naval architect, it's designed for a new type of client. Is the myth of the old pot-bellied billionaire outdated?
In the master cabin.
For 10 years now, we've been making more contemporary boats that reflect the fact that the ship owners are getting younger.
He shrugs.
People make money earlier and earlier, it seems. The average age of a ship owner has fallen considerably. When I started 30 years ago, the owners were all at least 60 years old. Today, we have clients who are 30, 40 years old.
He smiles and shrugs again. Hey. On the ship's deck at night, several sheikhs walk aboard.
At sunset, the visitors increase.
Another group of men walk below the mirrored ceiling inside the interior lounge. Espen smiles.
You see, the boat has a totally different atmosphere now, with the lights, the music.
He greets a sheikh.
Each of these men is a potential customer. For Espen Oeno, the goal is to spark their interest. Now he's putting on his show for this rich Emirati.
We're having a cool boat that is launching in April. A really cool one, you'll see.
I will see it.
Mid-April.
I will see it.
Watch out. I can't talk about it, but I always
good
do.
Luck, good luck.
Is that somebody you know very well?
Yes.
Hello. Now, Espen walks along a red-carpeted dock, where dozens of other yachts sit mooring.
The show is coming alive. The music, the lights. Here, it's all about nightlife.
Before leaving again the next morning, Espen Oeno has an important appointment.
Hi, Edward, how are you? Misha, I brought you some friends.
The two men kiss each other's cheeks.
Come on, come on.
Espen helps a man to his feet.
Michael Breyman is the sales manager of the world's most prestigious shipyard.
A sign reads, Lursen.
A company located in Bremen in northern Germany.
In a shipyard.
One out of three mega yachts comes from this yard.
A new yacht emerges.
Images filmed inside are rare. As with all private yachts, secrecy is essential.
Back in Dubai.
I don't know how many boats we've done together.
Don't tell everyone.
More than 20, let's say.
I have to talk to you.
We're going to talk about serious things, so I have to remove my microphone.
You have a microphone?
Yes.
The two men shift uneasily.
Why do you have to remove the microphone?
Because we're going to talk about serious things.
Serious things.
They look at a model yacht.
In this world, as soon as one speaks of customers or prices, lips are sealed.
Daytime in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa towers over the skyline.
In Dubai, on the pontoons, you talk about power, hull, design. But these ships also have to be decorated. And that's the job of Sabrina Monteleone, the Moroccan decorator.
Sabrina approaches a bar.
Here, she's in her element.
She laughs, looking around the exhibition, then later greets a man.
Hi.
Hi. Sabrina from Monaco.
From Monaco.
From Monaco.
I know you.
Oh,
I came already on board many years.
No wonder.
Yes.
Beautiful girl, that's why. That's why. Monte Carlo.
Yes.
This man is a Saudi billionaire who owns one of the biggest yachts in the world.
They and another man approach a sitting area on the dock.
This gentleman is the owner of the boat Lady Moura, which is docked in Monaco all year long, but now I think it's in a refit in a German shipyard.
His ship, the Lady Moura, measures 105 meters, one of the first mega yachts in the world. It was launched in 1990. The owner, Sir Al Rashid, is an influential advisor to the Saudi royal family, with a fortune estimated at several billion euros. She's going to take good care of him.
So you are boatless now. We are missing the boat on the bay in Monaco. It's really strange without your boat, you know?
Yeah. Brand new one.
You know, your boat is a part of Monaco, of the port.
There is a stamp.
She's there, exactly.
The prince put a stamp.
Exactly.
Lady Moura.
Here's the stamp. It was printed in 2013 by the Principality of Monaco. This morning, Sabrina Monteleone is expecting an important client.
She looks around.
My Kuwaiti man is lost. The problem is he's on the other side. I don't understand what happened. He's been circling all around. Oh, but he'll get here eventually. This is a client who regularly comes to Monaco. And he saw that I'm here, so he absolutely wants to visit the boat. And now he's lost. He's a good customer. He's been trying to find the boat show for an hour and a half, so I don't understand.
Her assistant keeps an eye out as Sabrina checks her phone.
After an hour, an assistant finally locates him.
I have him here with me. Ah, Michel's found him. Perfect. We found him.
Finally, you made it. But the voyageurs here?
Yeah, it's good.
Very easy.
He don't know where it is.
The man wearing the cap made a special trip from Kuwait, a two-hour flight, to buy furniture from her. The young woman has set up her showroom on one of the yachts in the show.
Everything you can see, there are our items.
Yeah.
Every single piece on this boat.
Okay,
so you remember that you have the same at home, huh? We send you something like this, this color for sure,
but,
because you love it.
I make a new order. I want to make a new order.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We will sit then, and then we will see. Here's what we...
She leads him to an interior lounge.
Don't let his casual look fool you. He belongs to a very wealthy Kuwaiti family.
He comes every season and buys, nonstop. Throughout the year, I send him things, then he sends me photos, and then I send. Now he wants to order more. I don't know what yet. But he's a very nice man. He got lost, but he's very nice. It'll be all right.
She hurries downstairs.
Where is he?
Ooh.
Sabrina shuffles through a narrow hallway.
Here he is.
She emerges into a small lounge, sunlight drifting through slatted blinds on the windows to her left and steps through a sliding glass door onto the deck.
So what do you think? Not bad, huh?
No, it's very sad.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cool, huh? Okay. How many of them?
I don't know. Maybe take one.
Pair. Well, a pair?
Yeah.
You have this color already?
Yes.
So maybe we can take
two or three of... It's matching, two colors. White with this.
Yes.
I send you the picture.
A house, a chalet, and a boat, everything. That's why I like to work with Sabrina. And she have top things.
And it's good because every year we see each other. And it's a very...
I buy from your shop.
You buy, you come, and you know what is nice? When you come, you say, okay, I want this and this and this and this and this. So it's quite good to... it's quite fun.
Parasols, sofas, armchairs. In a few minutes, the sheik has placed an order for more than 200,000 euros. The decorator's time has not been wasted.
He lounges in a chair on the aft deck.
He's a very nice customer. It's great that he's happy, and he's always happy. He always sends me photos with WhatsApp. What I always say is that if the client is happy, I'm happy.
A man wanders around the exhibition and greets everyone he sees.
Alex is 36 years old. He's not a billionaire. He doesn't own a yacht, and yet everyone knows him here.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So you're the yacht guy, huh?
I never met you. I've seen you with the boys.
He's staying out of trouble.
Busy show?
Yeah, it sounds like you've been busy.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I'm doing great.
Good.
And yourself?
Very good.
Just sent your request.
Yes.
He's the yacht guy. I know from Instagram. He's very famous.
In fact, Alex, known as the yacht guy, is a social media star. Born in Brooklyn, for the last 2 years, he's been making a living from his passion for boats. He has almost 1 million followers on Instagram and regularly posts pictures that make you dream. He also makes videos of yachts.
Videos on his account scroll past.
He travels the world invited by brands to do promotion. He's what's called an influencer.
So I'm here thanks to DIBS, the Dubai International Boat Show, who has brought me in all the way from Boston to come and bring exposure to the show. I'm selling exposure. The majority of the people that follow are probably dreamers, right? And probably young kids. But if 1% of 1 million people were potential clients, that's still a huge number.
So they actually pay you, this is how you earn?
This is how I earn my living. This is exactly how I earn my living. And it's not a bad living. I mean, it's great. I mean, how often you get to travel the world, you know, visit all these amazing places, spend time on board yachts, and get paid for it.
He greets a well-dressed man.
This morning he has a meeting with Mahmoud, the sales manager of an Emirates yacht builder.
They look at a phone screen.
All right, well, I've got to go on board and do my thing.
Okay.
Which boat do you want me to show on Facebook?
The 100.
The 100.
You haven't done much on the 100, right?
He removes his sneakers and raises his phone.
And we are now live. What's up, everybody? We are live from the Dubai International Boat Show. So we are going to take a tour on the Majesty 100.
He points his phone at a sign.
It's one of their newest lines. They just launched it. And I am here with Mahmoud, one of the big guys here. He's going to give us a tour and walk us through the boat.
Right.
That
yes,
sound good?
Let's do that.
Let's do it. I'll spin you guys around, and we're going to follow Mahmoud. Mahmoud?
They make their way onto
so
the boat.
For a live 15-minute visit on Instagram, Alex bills nearly 3,000 euros. And the miracle of social networks, the results are immediate.
2,100 viewers. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Well done.
So,
charge your phone.
It's charging. Do you want me to catch back up with you? I want to go and do a whole full photo shoot of this boat.
Okay.
And then I want to post it on Facebook.
Okay.
And then I'll catch you and we'll do another one.
All right. Okay.
All right.
No problem. Take your time.
See ya. Perfect. So now I get to do it all over again for Facebook. So this is the problem. This is the thing. So everybody thinks, oh, you've got such a great life. You know, you're out there just hanging out. I'm not. I'll get on a boat and I have to spend time on the boat, right? So I have to go through and take photos for one social media thing, and then I gotta go through and take photos for the next social media thing. So
this is what you're gonna work.
This is work.
Alex will probably never have enough to buy his own mega yacht, but no matter. What he enjoys is being part of this little world.
He takes photos of the silver fast.
So this is the lifestyle for the 1%. Not everybody can do this, and if you're blessed enough to be able to do it, well then you're blessed. That's just it.
At nightfall, Dubai is transformed.
The city and docks glow with bright lights.
The yacht guy is invited on one of the largest boats in the Emirates.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. They call me Alex, the yacht guy.
Oh.
Supposed to be arriving today with two guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're good?
Nice.
We're good to go?
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you.
All right, so we are here.
He records himself.
Coming on board. Check it out. This thing's pretty crazy. It's supposed to be one of the biggest party boats here in all of the UAE. Now, it is huge. We'll take you around.
He boards a yacht flooded with multicolored lights.
Ilona, the owner's Russian wife, will give him a tour of this huge yacht, the Lotus, specially constructed for parties.
She leads him past a long table flanked by dozens of chairs. On the upper deck, dozens of people mill about or stand near tall tables under a large metal overhang.
We're on board Lotus. It's got to be the largest barge in all of Dubai, right?
Yeah, it's great. Biggest in Dubai.
Insane.
1,000 people.
1,000 people. Wow. This is probably the biggest one in the world, then.
Yeah.
In the middle of the city. These guys take party barge to another level.
Alex films himself at the party, the lights bouncing off of his baseball cap and tan skin.
In Dubai, alcohol consumption is prohibited, with some exceptions. This party boat has a special license, so it's open bar and party on the water every weekend. One last selfie, and his workday is over. Alex leaves the yacht before setting out for a mini cruise in the middle of the skyscrapers.
The Lotus drifts slowly away into the harbor, green lights illuminating the large jacuzzi on the aft deck. Her balding captain walks onto the main deck, cigarette in hand.
Captain, is it very difficult to move this boat? Very
difficult. Of course, it's because big, it's number one in Persian Gulf.
Skyscrapers flank the inlet leading into Dubai.
Even when you've traveled on all the seas across the world, navigation in the heart of Dubai holds some surprises. Like when this boat goes under a bridge.
Partygoers continue to chat as the Lotus glides underneath the bridge, leaving them with only a few inches of headroom. Several people reach up and touch the underside of a second bridge. A man grins and drunkenly points, still holding a glass in his hand, before blowing a kiss.
For 1 week, the world's biggest yachts have been docked at the foot of these buildings, before returning to their favorite destinations, the Caribbean and the Mediterranean.
Dozens of skyscrapers edged with neon-colored lights glow above the marina. Now, in Monaco.
Back to Monaco.
An old citadel stands above the sunlit bay.
In the bay off the Principality, we find the Sybaris of the American billionaire Bill Duker. He made a special trip from the United States to attend a social event.
Bill walks along a sailboat to a dinghy.
You guys didn't know I had paparazzi, did you?
Crew members help the well-dressed man into the small vessel before they motor toward the shore.
Off to the port of Monaco. For the occasion, he takes out his 900,000 euro dinghy.
The dinghy cruises past dozens of anchored yachts. Then a crew member helps Bill onto the dock.
Okay.
When he arrives on the dock, he's welcomed by an old acquaintance, the director of the Yacht Club of Monaco, Bernard D'Alessandri.
Good.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, ready for the season?
This is the commodore of the Monaco Yacht Club.
No, I'm not the commodore, but no. I'm the secretary general.
Secretary general, same thing.
I do.
They walk together.
He wants to show the American billionaire a rare item, the Twiga, a century-old sailboat. It was a wreck when it was purchased by Albert of Monaco himself, who completely restored it in precious wood. It's the height of refinement and one of the prides of this very private yacht club.
They carefully climb onto the wooden deck, the sailboat itself sandwiched between two yachts.
But the selection process in the yacht club is quite hard, or it's...
Yes, it's quite hard. We have very long waiting list.
Like months, years?
Minimum is two years.
Well, thank you. This is a treat.
Now, outside the Yacht Club de Monaco.
You don't have to own a yacht to be a member of the club. On the other hand, you need two sponsors in the annual fees. According to our sources, they are 9,000 euros.
Bill and Bernard enter the building.
This gentleman's club also includes some women. Like this Italian lady, a lawyer from Milan, Paula Trefiuro.
Paula approaches Bernard, who nods and approaches a podium.
I'm pleased to welcome Paula.
He helps her up onto the small stage with him, as the hundred of people in the room look on from their tables and chairs.
Today, the Yacht Club is giving her a special honor on the occasion of the inauguration of her new yacht. Here it is. It's docked right in front of the club. It cost a modest sum of 30 million euros. It measures 33 meters. Here, it's a small model.
Aboard her yacht.
Ciao, Bill.
Ciao.
So happy to have you.
Ciao, dear. Bill is the boat's unofficial godfather.
The two embrace.
Grazie. Thank you so much.
This is my very good friend, who is the proud owner of this beauty.
This is all carbon and titanium, as my friend told me about Titan. It was quite a nice adventure, but also a hard adventure. But anyway, we are here happy and proud.
Bill greets others on deck.
The lawyer invited friends from all over the world for the ship's inauguration. And like with a new house, a tour of the property is a must.
Inside.
So
let's go.
Let's go and see your galley.
Mm-hmm. My galley is there is everything is small.
Okay.
She shows off a sliding cabinet.
And a lot of space down. A cave for wines. The fridge for the day from Sub Zero.
Paula steps into a small tender.
To continue the celebration, Bill Duker had an idea. Invite some of Paula's friends to a cocktail party, this time on his yacht.
Bill's crew tie the tender's lines onto the railing and help Paula aboard and sail with
him. Thank you very
much.
Paula introduces a woman on the main deck. The sailboat's towering mast and boom scrape against the cloudless sky.
Sorry. I'd love to give you a tour. But maybe first it's appropriate to start with a toast.
Absolutely.
Yes. For our...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Stewardesses hand out glasses of champagne.
Make sure you have a champagne, though. Yes. Hey, viva.
Hip, hip, hurrah.
Big fan.
Hip, hip, hurrah.
Hey, viva,
viva.
For the American billionaire, it's above all a chance to display the size and grandeur of his boat.
It's light, and I like the softness of the
You
boat.
Like the softness of the
boat. Yes. Alligators.
Yes. And not the lion.
Obviously, the alligator trunks get a special mention, as does his painting from New York.
This is a street artist in New York called Ron English, who's the most famous of the street artists in New York.
The billionaire can't resist the pleasure of showing off his fortune.
I have an apartment in New York, I have an apartment in Miami, and an apartment in Rome.
In Rome?
New York, Miami, but I have a house in Rome, too. New York, Miami, mostly.
I bought an apartment in Rome.
Now I'm resident in Miami Beach, but I have an apartment in New York as well. And I have a house upstate New York, and then I have an apartment in Rome, too.
The cocktail does not last more than an hour.
Paula steps back into the tender.
The guests leave before nightfall.
It motors toward the shore.
Bill Duker acquired his boat barely 6 months ago. He's already put it up for sale for 90 million euros and begun building a bigger one.
He stands on the stern, his phone to his ear, back in Greenland on the seabirds.
We join up again with the Dutch group who are having a dream vacation in Greenland.
A woman sits on a sled drawn by a pack of dogs.
I wanted to do this once in my life, so it's on my bucket list.
The advantage of the expedition yachts like the Legend is that they allow access to unique experiences in hard-to-reach locales around the world. The yacht is anchored for the day in a fjord. The water temperature is only 2 degrees. It won't deter the friends of Jan, the Dutch owner.
Jan, I hope you're coming with us.
No, I've done it many times. I'll just watch you.
The group walk in their swimsuits.
Oh, great weather. Great weather.
Lower the adem.
They enter the water.
Whoa. Cold.
Oh, why not?
Okay. Lekker.
They climb into the jacuzzi.
After the swim, a dip in the 47-degree jacuzzi and a drink to warm up.
Prost.
They clink shot glasses and knock back the blue liqueur.
This evening, the mega yacht is moored off the small port of Ilulissat.
In a fjord.
At this latitude, during the summer, the sun never sets. This stopover is the occasion for a shift change for the crew.
The Seabra sits anchored just off of a small iceberg. Several people stand off of the aft deck as a man in a dinghy pulls up and tosses one of them a line of rope. Inside.
Captain Albert in his beautiful uniform will return to Holland for vacation after spending 6 months on the yacht. He's turning the wheel over to Captain Koster. Both are paid around 15,000 euros per month.
All the information you need is in the computer. Make sure you make a copy every day. You will need it in due time.
So we are telling everything about all the instruments, how they work, what the malfunctions are.
Just a handover of the operational state of the complete bridge. I haven't been on board for a long time, so this is what has happened for the last few months, and this is the status now.
I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to change, and then I'm leaving the vessel.
Cheers.
Albert starts to walk away, then turns.
I forgot to give you this.
He hands Koster his radio. Captain Albert and Jan walk past the gathered, uniformed crew. Albert sets down his bag to hug each of them in turn.
South Africa, the Philippines, the Ukraine, the Netherlands, Lithuania. The crew includes a half dozen different nationalities, as is often the case on these mega yachts.
These are all the rest, eh? Take care of it. Going to be all right, yeah?
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Albert shakes a man's hand.
Great.
And
he heads out onto the aft deck and climbs into the dinghy as another crew member helps him with his luggage. A stewardess watches with tears in her eyes.
Why are you crying?
Because the captain is leaving.
He's an awesome guy.
He is.
The small port is not far.
No GPS.
Now we will try to find you out on the radar. You have to put a stick upside.
A man kicks an ice floe out of the dinghy's path.
When casting off that night, one can understand the difficulty in navigating this mega yacht. A thick fog has arrived.
The dinghy weaves around chunks of ice.
The fishermen hurry to get back to port.
It passes a fishing boat.
They must leave immediately to avoid getting stuck in the ice for several days. Jan, the owner, decides to take control of the ship himself. The problem is that he'll need to navigate by sight.
Fog drifts around a field of ice and snow off of the ship's side.
Yeah, 2 centimeters to come.
You can advance 20 meters, then you can easily go to port.
Two crewmen were dispatched to the bow of the ship.
We're reporting distances now to the bridge, so the visibility is a little bit hard now. So
he points.
If he gives the right distances, they can make the turn.
He talks into a radio.
It all looks pretty clear ahead of us, so it's good.
The two stand on the prow of the ship, peering out into the foggy sea.
The ice on the surface isn't what it appears to be. Underwater, it might have the height of a 15-story building.
They drift past a large ice floe.
Keep turning. It's okay.
They could rip the hull off the ship. Therefore, it's necessary to navigate with extreme precision.
The hull of the ship reflects the gray sky and icebergs.
How many meters?
In the wheelhouse.
The piece on the starboard side passes clear now with more than 10 meters. Plus on the port side. And the visibility, just over 100 meters.
Just over 100 meters.
Jan, the owner, is still at the wheel, under the captain's supervision.
Captain Koster stares hard at the instrument panel.
And finally, after 4 hours of zigzagging between icebergs, the sailing becomes smooth again and the sun reappears.
The calm ocean glitters in the sunlight, now mostly devoid of icebergs.
Everyone is relieved.
Inside the wheelhouse.
I think this is for everybody who likes this. This is a nautical. It's very, very interesting to do this. And very nice. I will go in the jacuzzi. Very soon. Very, very soon.
The yacht sits anchored near the coastline.
Jan's latest pride and joy can be found in the hold of the ship. It's become a must-have accessory on these expedition yachts. A mini submarine.
A man climbs into the circular helm.
Today, the son of one of the guests will take the test for a license to navigate this machine.
Turn it on to sea.
Yes,
it's okay.
The owner even brought in an instructor, Arthur, from the Netherlands, so he could take his test.
Arthur watches a propeller spin.
Good.
It's completely different than just scuba diving, just sitting inside and you're comfortable. This is around 2.5 million euros.
A chain raises the sub onto the deck.
Just taking the submarine out of the hold and putting it in the water takes no fewer than 6 people.
The machine is operated by four propellers and can descend to 3,000 meters deep.
The crane slowly lowers the sub onto the water.
That's good.
The guest and his instructor step onto the top of the sub, then its propellers sputter and push it away from the yacht. Inside.
Hello, comm check, please.
Loud and clear, do you read me?
Loud and clear. Are you going to close your hatch?
The young man pulls the overhead hatch of the sub closed.
Diving can begin.
Water splashes up the spherical glass cockpit.
However, once underwater, it's a bit disappointing. We're far from the crystal clear waters of the Caribbean.
Clear. We're now at 5 meters. Visibility is really, really poor here.
The lights of the sub illuminate the murky green water to reveal bits and pieces of the rocky bottom.
Is it a plant or? I think it's here. Just a rock.
The instructor checks that the young man can master the vehicle.
Anyway, you're not able to build up any pressure. Check if your pressure relief is open or not. Which one is there? What fault? That's the one.
Above the gauge here.
He's passed the test with flying colors.
The sub rises and breaches the ocean surface.
On the surface, a surprise awaits. A glass of champagne with his parents to celebrate.
He stands on the side of the sub as his parents hand him a glass from the tender, near a village.
Last stop off the tiny village of Sisimiut. To impress his friends, Jan has just decided to give them a barbecue lunch.
Spoon in the other one.
It's Marilyn, the head hostess, who has to manage the last minute organization.
Napkins, water, I've got water.
She hurries around the deck.
Okay, a lighter.
The chef barbecues on a grill.
Okay.
Luckily, the chef is used to his boss's whims. They have everything they need for a barbecue. Lunch should start soon, but nothing is ready. Marilyn is running in all directions.
Sukon, Sukon, Marilyn.
Marilyn is South African. She speaks four languages.
Can we have a bread knife? I'm coming to fetch it.
She scampers downstairs to the galley.
Clemens, Clemens, Marilyn.
Marilyn glances around, holding the mic of her radio to her lips.
Romela, do you have a bread knife? Clemens, Clemens, Marilyn.
She accepts the knife.
The 30 members of the crew communicate on the same channel, and sometimes it's a bit chaotic.
You're welcome. Could you please meet Clemens? En fait, y a toute l'équipe.
The whole team is on the same channel.
That's what dogs do.
Right now they're talking, blah, 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 jet skis, ship, captain. So you have to talk as little as possible.
On deck.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else?
The chef frowns.
You ask for the plates, hot plates?
Hot plates, no, I need to do that.
Okay.
Soon everything is ready for the barbecue. The guests are in the lounge. One problem, the owner Jan had a last-minute urge.
We planned to eat around 6 p.m., but the boss decided to go diving. This is what we call standby. We wait. And as long as he's not here, we won't start the party. It's the boss, and he's with his friends. So the right thing to do is celebrate together.
Marilyn and the chef stand nearby.
After waiting for over 30 minutes, Marilyn learns by radio that the boss is on his way back. Now, time to get moving.
It's all about communication. We'll be here in 2 minutes. Everyone knows what to do.
She stands with a tray of rolled hot towels.
If there's no communication, he comes and there's no towel. If we're doing a barbecue, he gets here and there's nothing ready for him. So working as a team is important.
The small dinghy pulls up to the stern platform, and a crew member helps Jan back aboard.
Welcome back.
Thank you. You have two hats now.
Yeah. Here.
Thank you.
Welcome.
How was the dive?
Nice. Nice. Cold. It was a long time driving.
Inside, a stewardess helps him out of his heavy jacket.
Having patiently waited for the owner, guests can finally start eating. An ultimate luxury on a yacht in Greenland, they can dine on the terrace.
Marilyn emerges with fuzzy blankets.
Blanket for you, sir?
Yeah, it will. Thank you.
She takes a photo of the guests on the phone as they dine on grilled skewers and fresh vegetables.
Cheers! Well done. And
We understand that the clients enjoy the cold and eating a barbecue outside when it's 4 degrees out there. That is absolute luxury.
This dream vacation is not within reach for everyone. When he's not inviting his friends aboard, the owner of the Legend rents the boat for 800,000 euros per week, all included.
Lights flash and white text appears. Indigenous.